The question was asked, what are the different forms of alphabet that we have? So, we have Ktav Ivri and Ktav Ashuri. Ktav Ashuri is what's called the Assyrian script, which is the way we write in the Sefer Torah. Ktav Ivri was a known form of the Hebrew letters, which was around in the days of the First and Second Temple. It was definitely used by the common folk. Was it used for the writing of Torah? Two opinions in Tanaic opinions, Machloket Tanaim, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, as to whether the font of the Torah was ever Ktav Ivri. We rule with the opinion that the font never changed. But there is an opinion that when Moshe gave the Torah, it was in the font called Ktav Ivri, with the stipulation that it would change before prophecy would end. There were a few things that Moshe gave with stipulations that they would evolve, such as the circumcision, the Brit Milah. Moshe gave us the Brit Milah without Priya, and he said, when you enter the land of Israel, you will do your circumcisions differently, so you within it with an evolvement. So there were mitzvot where Moshe said, for now you're going to do it this way, later on you're going to do it that way. According to the opinion that the font changed, so that opinion reads one verse and says that verse is where Moshe was saying the font is still going to change before prophecy ends, and that's why Ezra was allowed to do it, because otherwise you're not allowed to change something as cardinal, and you're not allowed to change a mitzvah in the Torah. So we have Ktav Ivri, which was the script used by the people. You have Ktav Ashuri, that's a script used in the Sefer Torah. I'll continue in a minute. Hi, Leo.
But Ezra wasn't a prophet, so why would that happen?
Ezra wasn't a prophet, but he worked with prophets, meaning what Ezra did with the men of the great assembly, we attribute it to Ezra as the head of the men of the great assembly. But the Talmud says, Beinehim kama nevi'im. When the Talmud describes the institutions of the men of the great assembly, the Talmud stresses always that there were prophets among them. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, at least. Aside from which, there is an opinion that Malachi was Ezra, in which case Ezra was a prophet. There is such an opinion in Talmud, that Ezra was also known as Malachi. You're correct that the book of Ezra is in writings, which according to some opinions, the Meiri among them, means that he had Ruach HaKodesh when he wrote Ezra, and not Nevuah. But that doesn't preclude, again, it could be that the book of Ezra and the book of Divrei Hayamim he wrote on the level of Ruach HaKodesh, and the book of Malachi he wrote on the level of Nevuah. But even if he wasn't, he did it with the men of the great assembly, and there he had Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So we've covered two scripts so far. Now, within the script of the Sefer Torah, so there are slight differences between the Sephardi and the Ashkenazi way that we write. It's not major. For example, do we have a marker? I'll draw a few examples.
Yes, there.
Beside your books.
Thank you. Okay, so let's see some examples. The Sephardi Shin, the Ashkenazi Shin, the Sephardi Kuf, the Ashkenazi Kuf, the Sephardi Ches, Ashkenazi Ches. Okay? So those are some major examples of differences between Sephardi and Ashkenazi. There are more. I'm saying the Ashkenazi Nun, the Sephardi Nun, Endonun, I mean. The Sephardi regular Nun, the Ashkenazi regular Nun. There are more. I mean, you want to go letter by letter? Okay, we'll quickly do letter by letter. If you go back to ancient times in Iraq and other places, so the difference between a Beis and a Chaf by the Sephardim was like this. So this was a Beis, and this was a Chaf. Namely, the major difference was, are these corners square or not? Those are the major differences. Then you come to Ktav Ari, you come to questions of Sephardim make a yod like this, Ashkenazim make a yod like that, this point being more critical to Ashkenazim. When we make the tzadi, so Ashkenazim will do the tzadi pointed that way, and if you go with Ktav Ari, so the tzadi goes pointed that way. There is a slight difference in the way we write an aleph, whether this leg does this, how exactly you draw the bottom left side of the leg. But these are slight differences, they're not major. An Ashkenazi can use a Sephardic Torah, and a Sephardic Torah, and a Sephardic can use Ashkenazi. This is an important thing to know, because when you're starting out, when you don't yet have adequate funds, and you come back home, and you notice that your parents don't have a mezuzah, so you have two choices. You can go and buy a very cheap Ashkenazi mezuzah, and you say, I'm Ashkenazi! But a cheap Ashkenazi mezuzah is questionably kosher, so you can get one for 50 shekel. I can get you one for 50 shekel. I don't make a profit. I just tell you who to call. But you're much better off getting a 50 shekel Sephardi mezuzah, because the Sephardi writing is much easier for the scribe to write. Ashkenazi is very convoluted. Take the ches. A Sephardi ches, it's one stroke. Up, across, down. You made a ches. An Ashkenazi ches. Up, cross, down. Four strokes for the same letter. That's really complicated, the Ashkenazi writing, yeah? Four strokes. One, two, three, four. Four strokes where the Sephardi did like this, and he's done. So the Sephardi writing is much easier to write. And as such, a Sephardi mezuzah for 50 shekel is a much better mezuzah, assuming you have an honest scribe, an honest dealer, so you're better off buying a Sephardi one. Get a more kosher, get a better mezuzah. The term ksav velish, I have sad news, funny news for you. The term velish really means foreign. The word wall, in many language, walnut meant the foreign nut. The word velish, depending on who you're reading, means something else. They're all talking about the foreign ksav. So for an Ashkenazi, that could be the Sephardi one, etc. Velish is not one thing. Velish, depending on who you're reading, is a different inter... It just means the foreign ksav. So sometimes it means the Sephardi, sometimes it means the Ari, etc. It depends on who you're reading. But that's, in a nutshell, an overview of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? That's now, Rashi script, which the Yemenites write in, is a script that was developed because halachically we prefer not to use the holy script of the Torah to write things that are not Torah, exactly Torah. And as such, another script was developed simply to allow us to write and not use the script of the Torah. And this is in Shulchan Aruch also. There is this concept that a person should not use the font of Torah for writing mundane things. And that's why Rashi script was developed. I have Sfarim where I have dedications from Yemenite rabbis, and they write in Rashi script. That's how they write. I'm saying they, when they write something that's not actual words of Torah, it's written in Rashi script. Now, the ancient printers were Italian. The first Jewish printing presses were owned by Sfardim, and that's why even Ashkenazi Chumashim, everyone's used to reading a Sfardi font, because they controlled it. I'm saying our hay looks like this, an Ashkenazi hay. Okay? But your chumash doesn't look like that. Your chumash looks like a Sephardi hay. Oh. Right? Because the Sephardim controlled the printing presses originally, so the fonts that were developed were Sephardi, and that's what we're used to today.
The lamed that we're used to? Letter lamed?
Yeah, it's a Sephardi lamed. Oh. Ashkenazi lamed is like this. You're not used to that. You're used to a Sephardi lamed. Okay.
And the Dead Sea Scroll font?
I know nothing.